Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined as always by Cody Thompson, my co-host. How you doing, Cody?
Great. I feel like there's a clip out there of me saying great about 100 times. I'm going to figure out a new way to do this.
One day you just got to go, I'm doing crappy. I said, shh, crappy, which is good. And we've got Tracy, our producer, on mic with us. How you doing, Tracy?
I'm doing fantastic.
There you go.
And off mic, we've got Matt, our engineer. How you doing, Matt? Nods the head. Excellent. Cody, what's our topic today?
It's called Be a Jerk.
Be a Jerk. That's right. And we kind of mean that. But when we talk about being a jerk, there's a very important distinction between what we would say is a jerk with a capital J, which is a person who embodies being a jerk. They're just generally rude and difficult.
Consistently harsh.
Exactly. And what we call a little J jerk. Mm-hmm. A little J jerk is a person who's not really a jerk at all, but they're doing something that another person could look at and say, gosh, that looked like something a jerk would do, but it's actually really good. They're just putting themselves out there. They're confronting people. They're saying difficult things for the good of the team, the good of the mission, the good of the conversation. And too many people in life, throughout every kind of enterprise and endeavor, are unwilling to do things that aren't jerky at all, but could be misinterpreted that way. And organizations and people, and I will say society in general, suffers as a result of that. So what we want to do in this episode is encourage more people in the world to be little J jerks. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, we almost titled this Jerks Don't Suck. But that really is the concept, is that we have to kind of destigmatize this idea that if you're pushing on someone or if you're... And really what it comes down to a lot of the times is the people who are most passionate about the mission and success of the team, right? That they're willing to go outside of the realm of being considered nice to push on people. And too often we prioritize being perceived as being the nice person or the popular person versus the person that's willing to do the hard thing.
Right. And this is for people that are in relationship with one another. So people that trust each other and care about one another and they're working together. If you are sitting in a meeting with somebody and you're reluctant or unwilling to say something difficult because of the way you could be misperceived, one of the things we said is that's actually being a jerk.
Yeah.
It's a passive one and you're avoiding being misunderstood or being accused of something, but you're depriving the team and that person of something that could really help. And so the next time you're in a meeting and you think, oh, I have to say something, it could be hard to hear. My intentions are pure. I'm just not going to say it. That's much more of being a jerk than saying the hard thing.
Yeah. I love that you kind of have two, maybe three options here. It's like you can be an active little J jerk where you're willing to go out there and have a difficult conversation or push on somebody or hold people to high standards. Or you can be a big J jerk, which is the harsh one that's constantly doing that, or you're oblivious and you don't see it. You know, like right. those are kind of the only three. But I think far too often, and we talk about this, it's plaguing the team world, the business world, even our families, but especially this concept that we talk about sometimes in nonprofits and churches, that kindness and niceness are not the same thing. That
right.
Being nice is someone who's really trying to just be perceived as friendly and comfortable and easy to be around. And kindness actually requires that we tell people the truth.
Right. And Tracy, I've said for years in my talks, the organization where people get hurt the worst in, of all the organizations in society, is what?
Churches.
Right. And when I'm speaking to a group of people that look that, you know, sometimes I'm with a group of people and I can tell that there's not a lot of church going on there. I'll say, you know why? It's because churches tend to hire really mean people. And they're like, really? And I'm like, no. It's in fact, they hire people who think their job is to be nice to one another, which means at the end of a meeting or at the end of an interaction, they don't tell each other the truth. They go out in the parking lot and talk about one another.
Mm-hmm. And that's just cruel.
Exactly.
I mean, that's, to me, that's not being a passive jerk. That's just cruelness. That's right. Mean.
And as a follower of Jesus, I talked to a guy the other day who said he wants to write a book called Jesus the Jerk. And again, it would be the little J jerk. He said things that were hard for people to hear.
And provoked people. And,
right. Yeah. He didn't do it just for fun. He did it because he had to tell them the truth. And he didn't do it to everyone. When people were hurting, he told them what they needed. But some people needed to be confronted. But there's this idea that he was just this nice guy who went around and told everybody what they wanted to hear and played the guitar and handed out free things. And that's just not the way it is. And in society, we've kind of come to adopt this mentality that you have to be nice all the time, and it leaves people hurting.
That's right. And I think it's selfish. I really do. If you're withholding that information, you are protecting yourself, and it's purely selfish.
Right.
I think the other thing, Pat, this is somewhat selfish of you and I, because I feel like too often we be the little J jerks, you know, and we're like, can somebody else please be the little J jerk? Because we don't always want to be the ones that are pushing, you know, and I don't mean that to like hold us up to a, you know, on a pedestal or anything, because every time you do it, there's this internal, like in your gut, you're like, oh no, I don't want to do this. And really, you're right, Tracy, it's self-preservation. Every time you choose to be passive jerk, or you choose niceness over kindness, it's all self-interest.
Yeah.
And it's hard to put it all out there and to say, hey, at the expense of my colleagues or people in my family or my friends thinking that I might be a little pushy or a little J jerk, I still feel compelled to say this. And it's in service of people.
Yeah.
But we, as a society, and we haven't seen it very well modeled in organizations, because far too many people don't have the courage to do that.
The overwhelming majority of organizations try to be nice to one another. And as a result of that, people get hurt later because they get fired and they don't know why, or people say things behind their back, or the organization fails because nobody's really confronting the real issues. I have to tell you, just this morning I was leaving. I was talking to Laura, my wife, who I love, and we were talking about something tactical, about getting something done in the house. I was like, you know, I feel like this might not get done. And so if you can't do it, just say no. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, I'll do it. And I was like, well, sometimes it doesn't happen. And when I left, I said, I'm sorry, I felt like I was a jerk. And she says, you didn't do anything wrong. I just, I needed to hear that. I'm going to take care of it. Get over it.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think we have this unnecessary guilt, like people can't handle a direct, loving, but direct comment. And as a result of that, it's a lose-lose.
Totally. You know, it's interesting. I was on a conference call the other day where somebody asked me a question of like, how do you approach those tough conversations? Like, what are some tips you would give someone that you know, you see something and you feel like you need to say it? And the first thing I said was, ask yourself, take a second and ask yourself, is it true? Because if it's true, that's the number one criteria. Like, if you're pushing on someone, like Laura said to you, actually, it's true. You know, like
that's
the difference between harshness and the big J jerk and the little J jerk, which is it true? And then the second thing is, then just go do it. You know, like, because too often we wait too long to have that conversation, and then the time passes and we're like, oh no, now it doesn't make sense.
That's right. And as someone who does not like to be a little J jerk, I would advise people to just dip your toe in the water, and it really doesn't feel that bad. It really doesn't. Just practice. Just do something small, and it has an impact.
You know, it's funny. I'm a person who doesn't like to do this, but I do it because I'm a leader and I feel like I have to. But my problem is this. I hesitate to do it the first time and the second time. So the third time it comes out and it looks a lot more like a big J jerk, because if I had just done it the first time, it would have been a lot more tactically impactful. You know, Cody, when you just said, so first, is it true? The next thing I would say is, and am I doing this to bring out the desire to impact, or am I doing it to vent?
Right.
See, this is not about giving yourself permission to vent on other people. And we've all done that. I've certainly have. It's about saying, I'm going to tell them this for their benefit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, an interesting story came to mind just as we were talking about this, and it's about my brother. I have an identical twin brother named Casey, who can be both a little J and big J jerk, depending on the time.
Only an identical twin could say that about him on a podcast. He's a great guy. But
no, he is fantastic. But he did this recently in our friend group, where one of our friends was making a career transition, and he was actually at a gathering with a few other friends, and our friend was saying, I think I'm going to go down this path. And most everyone who's nice, you know, would allow him to say whatever he was going to say, and then just go, well, good for you. Let me cheer you on. And my brother Casey, he was like, Mike, I know what you want to do. Ultimately, I don't think that this is the right path for you. Like, if you go back to school to do this, I don't think you're going to be able to help the people that you want to help. And he kind of was like pushing in and leaning in.
I know Casey, he would have said it directly and humorously, but
firmly and truthfully. And I think the other people at the party, or at the party, but the other people there were like, why are you doing that? Why don't you just tell him good on you? And a week later, after this guy went back and looked at, hey, here's what it would look like to go down this career path, he said, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Because you're right. I wasn't really considering the parameters that would be put on me, the time it would take to go back to school. And he came up with an entirely new idea for his next career. And it took someone being a little bit of a little J jerk to get him there. But it was exactly what you said, in service of a better outcome.
You know what's interesting about this? Imagine that you have 5 incidents over the course of a week where you either choose to say the hard thing and be a little J jerk, or you don't say anything. That's usually what it comes down to. If 4 out of the 5 were helpful and one of them actually was jerky, what is better, to be that person who gets 4 out of 5 right, but actually does have to apologize once, or the person who goes 0 for 5 but never has to apologize? Well, of course, 4 for 5 is better. Most of us will choose 0 for 5.
That's right.
You know, it's an interesting thing in when you talk about sin. There's things called sins of commission. That's when you do something bad. Mm-hmm. Then there's sins of omission, where you don't do something that you should have done. And I think that when we think about leadership, management, teamwork, we think that sins of omission are okay.
Right. We give us a little more permission to be like, I didn't do that, but
well, at least
inaction is better than bad action.
At least nobody accused me of doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important as leaders to go, no, it's just like with my kids, you know, boy, talk about being a little J jerk. If you're a parent, your kids think you're a little J jerk quite a lot.
Yeah,
that's right.
And one of my sons, Michael, he's my youngest. He is the most gentle child I've ever met, you know, and he doesn't get mad very often, but he does get mad when I call him on stuff. And I know it's when it's true. Mm-hmm. And he has this thing, and it takes him, and it's usually like 20 minutes later, he's like, sorry about that. But man, for that 20 minutes, he is convinced that I'm the meanest dad in the world, even if I say it nicely. And so telling someone the truth that makes them uncomfortable is going to bring some pain back to you. And if you're not willing to take that on, I do think deep down inside, that's some act of selfishness.
When I think it's interesting coming on the heels of our last week's podcast, which is, you know, it's risky to manage your people and to be in relationship with them. I mean, this is the part that feels where the rubber kind of meets the road. And it's like, if you really care about them and you are wanting to be a manager or a leader or a team member or even friend that wants to the best for them, it requires for you to be a little J jerk sometimes. And I think it goes back to what we said at the beginning. If you are committed to and passionate about the outcome, it's almost impossible not to be a little J jerk sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and that happens in sports and it happens in companies. And when people are more concerned with being nice than, or being perceived as being nice than passionate about the success and the results of the team, you won't do it.
Let me put this in business context too. I think this is the key to agility and getting things done quickly. I honestly believe this thing we're talking about right now is one of the greatest competitive advantages and one of the rarest in business. We were talking to some CEOs of an organization that's growing very fast in a very difficult time. They've pivoted in a way that it's unbelievable, and they get so much done. And people are like, I can't believe how fast you're growing right now. But it's because they break things quickly and they confront problems quickly, and they are not afraid to say the hard thing. And now people love working there, but it's not because it's soft, easy, or comfortable all the time. And it's that very thing. They said, when in doubt, we assume it's broken. We need to go break it and fix it.
Yeah. When things start to look pretty smooth, we're like, we look for things that we need to maybe unravel, break, redo, rethink, that sort of thing.
We had an incident here in our company just yesterday I thought was really interesting. So we have a couple people on our team working on a project. And it involves a lot of money, and it's been a lot of time and a lot of effort. And then, Cody, you came in over the weekend and said, I'm having some doubts about this, during our leadership team meeting. And we were like, yeah, maybe those doubts are good. Maybe we shouldn't pull the trigger on this. We were so close to it, and we've been working on it for a long time. And my first thought was like, oh, if we pull back from this, it's going to frustrate those guys that have been working on it. Now, I would not have done that because we're not like that, but I was so tempted to go, well, let's just go with it.
I have to tell you, I was too. Coming into that meeting, I was like, do I say anything about this?
Well, and you felt so bad for even bringing it up.
Right.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for the guys that we were going to have to tell that we weren't going to go forward with the program like we thought, and they were excited. Now, they dealt with it much better than we thought they would, but we saved $50,000 And everyone in the company feels better about this. And it was, we were so close to just going with it to avoid a difficult conversation.
Yeah. And you know what? You had left, but last night, the last thing that those two guys said to me that had done all the work is, I feel better about this now.
Wow.
Which is crazy. And so there was this moment of trepidation, even in the morning meeting, where I was like, ah,
they're going to think, what a bunch of jerks, man. We've been working so hard.
And that's when I was like, well, is it true? And is it in the best interest of our company? And then the third thing in that response is like, anticipate people's objections. And it's like, hey, I know everyone's been working on this. I'm not trying to undermine any of this stuff. And
we feel really bad to raise this right now, but we think it's the right thing.
And that was a great outcome, but sometimes the outcome isn't that rosy. And Pat, you described how you feel after you go there with someone. You feel hungover.
Yeah.
And I have
a hangover for a few days sometimes. Like,
I think a lot of us do.
Yeah. Little J jerks. We have to realize, nope. And it's good on a team to go, nope, you were a little J jerk and we appreciate that. If you had held that back, you'd have been a jerk. Mm-hmm. But I'm really tough on myself around those things.
Yeah.
But when people on my team, and when Laura said to me this morning, no, that was fine. Get over it. I was like, okay, good.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. We got to raise up more jerks so that we don't feel.
Yes.
I mean, imagine a whole team that can talk this way with one another, you know, that can push on each other. I mean, and you had used a sports analogy, the guy that comes in the weight room and says, hey, you're not pulling your weight, or we're not interested in, you know, you're not doing the thing that you need to do for us to be successful. If everyone can do that, that's a game changer.
You know, something I remember where that came from now, I was working with a baseball team, a college baseball team. And this one guy said, I told him about the little J jerk. And he goes, I come into the locker room and I'm the guy who pushes people and says, you're not trying hard enough. Mm-hmm. And some of the guys on the team are like, man, who do you think you are? And it's like, I'm doing this for the team. And they learned how to appreciate that guy rather than make him feel bad. And that's the thing we need to do. We need to thank and encourage people to be little J jerks.
That's right. You, in your book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, you talk about real-time permission.
Right.
In those moments, you have to stop whatever you're doing and say, what you're doing right now is awesome. Keep doing that.
Right. Because you could see they're starting to feel bad.
Exactly.
Like, I just called you out on something. I feel really bad. It's like, don't feel bad.
Nope.
And if it's the person who's getting called out who says that, totally, it's even better.
When you guys did that during the meeting yesterday morning, where I was like, oh, okay, here's what my thoughts are. And you're like, no, this is the right conversation for us to have, you know?
Right.
Whereas it could have easily swung the other way, which is like, hey, come on, you're totally derailed, you know, or we've made all this progress. And I think that you're exactly right, that we need to celebrate and give permission to people to push and be little J jerks more.
Yeah. You said something just now, Tracy. Well, I think we'll end on this. And that is that when it doesn't always go perfectly, mm-hmm, and we have to be willing to sit in that discomfort for a while. I don't like those 20 minutes where my son Michael is mad at me.
That's right.
I don't like those 2 days in the office where somebody's, and that's a rarity, but if sometimes a person needs 2 days to fully recover from that, and we have to go, I did it with pure intentions. I know it's what they needed. I'm going to let them be mad at me, and I'm not going to walk away from them or from this. Mm-hmm. So be a little J jerk. We want to hear your little J jerk stories. I think we're going to get a lot of stories from people going, oh my gosh, I feel bad. Yeah. Thank you. Or I was one the other day, or somebody else was one.
Yeah. podcast@tablegroup.com.
Yeah. Please. We love your stories. And Matt sits around and reads them to us in the office when we're talking about this stuff. So it's really fun. Now we've got some stories we want to share with you, though, going back to earlier this year.
Hey, Pat, before you go on, I want to do an ad for our new podcast that we just started. The Working Genius Podcast.
Yes. We have a great number. People That's are right. really listening to that. So many of our podcasts here, we were deviating toward the Working Genius.
Right.
So we finally decided we have to do a podcast focused on that, because there's a lot of people like me that are junkies for this kind of stuff. And so we started one, and a lot of people are listening to it. And it allows us to go deeper into the nuances of the Working Genius model.
Yeah. And it's not brain candy. It's applied. You know, we could only scratch the surface on how you use that Working Genius model and how to tap into people's geniuses. And what does that look like in meetings? So we've already covered a variety of topics, but this is the way to use this, and the stories that we're hearing and companies that are changing and teams that are reorganizing as a result of this. So if you have used that tool, go check that out. Subscribe. If you haven't, go to workinggenius.com. Check it out.
Right. Okay. We just hit 2 million downloads.
That's right.
On our podcast.
Thank you guys.
So, yeah. Thank you all to our listeners. Thank you for sharing this with other people. Most people listen to this podcast because somebody said to them, hey, I really like this podcast. And that's how it grows. So thank you. I wish we could be with you in person, because it'd be fun to talk to you all. Now, so we did a podcast about 9 months ago, maybe eight, 9 months ago. And it was called Plant Your Friggin' Tree. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like plant your tree and make a change.
And it's our second most listened, downloaded episode.
Right. We are still getting messages from people who are planting their trees or they're going back and listening to that podcast. We want to share three quick ones with you right now. Cody, you got one, right?
So the first one I'm going to share is from Greg, and he wrote us, this is an amazing email. First of all, I was confused by the title because he said, to be honest, I'm a little bummed. And I was like, wait, what's wrong with this? But he was bummed because he binge listened to all of our podcasts and he had run out of them the time. And he's like, now I have to wait a whole nother week. But his story was great. It was incredible. He had graduated high school 20 years earlier. So he hasn't been in school for 20 years.
So he's probably around 38 years old.
And he was worried about, do I need to leave my job? And before I leave my job, should I get more marketable, you know, in terms of the being hired somewhere? So he thought, I need to go back and get a bachelor's degree. 20 years after he had graduated high school, he was listening to our podcast and came across the Plant Your Freaking Tree in the middle of this and said, hey, not only I'm going to finish this, I'm going to finish my bachelor's program, I'm going to commit to it. He finished 117 college units in 11 months. But also he decided as a result of the organizational health stuff that we were doing that he was just going to lean into his role and try to change his organization where he was at.
Yeah, previously sort of he was down. Like, I should probably leave and get another job. He goes, no, yeah. I'm going to finish that degree now and I'm going to make it work here at this company. And so that's an interesting tree to plant. He essentially planted it where he was, but he finished his degree and said things are going great.
Yeah, so thanks, Greg, for sending that. Congratulations. 117 units in 11 months. That's amazing.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's fantastic. That's heroic. Tracy, you've got a really special one.
Yeah. So I've got a story here from Tamara. And Tamara was diagnosed with cancer during the pandemic. Mm. She listened to the Plant Your Freaking Tree podcast. Obviously, the cancer gave her a different lens to look at her life. She works full-time in marketing, and she wanted to start an e-commerce company. So she decided to plant her tree. And in November, she started this company. She says it's slow going, but she's loving it. And she says, listening to your podcast helped me realize I did the right thing to plant my tree at the right time.
That's great.
That's incredible. Yeah,
that's fantastic. And as soon as this podcast is over, we're going to pray for you, Tamara. Yes. And we encourage everyone to do that. Thank you for sharing that with us. What a great story. The last one we have here is from, let's see, Steve. And Steve was in the Navy for 23 years and really wanted to help people with leadership. But he didn't know how he became a pastor of a church and he loved it. But he said he wasn't doing enough to actually help leaders. So he was talking to his friends about this and he said, I think I need to plant my tree. And his friend said, yes, you need to do that. I'll be your first client. And so literally a month ago, he went back and listened to that podcast and decided, I'm planting my tree. I'm opening this separate thing that I'm doing in addition to being a pastor where I'm going to pour into other leaders. And he said, that's what made him do it. And the people around him rallied. They even gave him business. And he's starting off on a new venture because of that.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
We love sharing these stories. All right. Thank you for joining us today on At the Table. We look forward to talking to you next week. We love these. We'll try to make as many so that the guy who is binge watching, what was his name?
Greg.
So we know how that is after you finish a show, but maybe you can get onto the Working Genius podcast a few more episodes for you. All right. Thanks for being with us, everybody. We'll talk to you next week on At the Table. God bless.